Hey, what's up? This is Josh Todd from Buckcherry, and you're listening to Sonic Perspectives. Check it out.
Again, music fans from all over the world. I am Rodrigo, reporting live from Toronto for Sonic Perspectives once again. I'm here backstage of the Phoenix Concert Theater with Josh Todd, the singer of Buckcherry. Josh, are you ready?
I'm ready.
You're in the middle of a very busy year touring to promote Buckcherry's latest album, War Paint. How's the tour going so far?
It's been amazing. We've been on the road since January. We've been to the UK and Europe and back to the States and Canada here, and it's such a great record, and it marks 20 years for us in the rock game, and we're hitting on all cylinders.
And you have a new member on drums, Francis Ruiz. How is he adapting to the role, and what was he doing before joining Buckcherry?
Francis is like our MVP right now. We really enjoy him. Great drummer. He was in a lot of bands over the years, and he was in Motorhead for a second, and a bunch of other bands, but I can't name them all off. But he auditioned. He sent us a video of him playing Gluttony,
and right,
he was really impressive, and he killed it. And then on top of it was just a really nice person, which is really important to us, and just fit in nicely with what we were doing, and it's been great.
The set list relies heavily on the new album, which for me is a great sign. I guess you guys are really comfortable with the new material, right?
Yeah, the new album is just great songs. We spent a lot of time on it. We wrote over 30 songs for an 11-song record, and it really shows. I feel like it's one of our best, and we're having a lot of fun playing this stuff live.
And this is the first album with Kevin Rentgen on lead guitar, and I know he has a lot of experience as a player and producer. What did he bring to the table this time?
Yeah, Kevin's great. He's a great singer, great musician, great guitar player, all of the above, And we've known him for a lot of years. Stevie and I met Kevin years ago, right when I was around 20 years old in Hollywood. And Kevin was in another band called Soul, and we used to go to his shows. And we were into his band a lot, and we were all in different bands, actually, at the time. And cut to right now, he was available and he wanted to do it, and we were excited to have him on board, and it's kind of brought everything to a whole new level. It's definitely the best musicians we've ever had in this band, and it's really brought a lot to the live show.
Very cool. And War Paint was produced by Mike Plotnikov, who also worked with you guys on 15 and has worked with In Flames, Hailstorm, Van Halen, etc. What was it like working with him?
Yeah, it was great to be back with him. It was as if we hadn't missed a beat, and he's just a really nice person, very talented, and it was just, it was fun making a record again, and that's what we, were kind of seeking, and we love the way his records sound, and it was just a good fit.
Right, and tell us about the decision to do a cover of Nine Inch Nails' Head Like a Hole, which you guys made it your own, and it's fun to notice that trance vocals on that song are rather similar to what you do somehow. Your range.
Yeah. I've always been a big fan of Nine Inch Nails and loved that first record. I feel like it was really honest and had like an independent feel to it. I think it was an independent record. I'm not sure. It was
yeah.
Like TNT or something. But I liked it. I thought it was unique, and he's always kind of stuck to his guns his whole career, so I admire that. That being said, I wanted to do a song that was in my vocal wheelhouse, and I gotta believe in it lyrically, and all of the above. I love that song for all those reasons, and we just kind of jammed it out. We weren't really thinking about much else except like, let's see if we can make this sound like a Buckcherry song, and we were jamming it out, and Mike was recording us at the time. We didn't know it, and he played it back for us, and we were just blown away by how good it sounded, and so we played it for our label and manager, and just kept sticking around, and it finally made the record.
Right. And I don't know if you agree, but I'd say there are a few songs on Warpaint that kind of allude to the country sound. The Hunger, No Regrets, for example. Where do you think the inspiration for that came from?
Yeah, The Hunger, for sure. I can hear that in The Hunger, but No Regrets reminds me more of, like, old punk rock records, like, you know, like Social Distortion or something like that.
But, oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, The Hunger was around a long time. We wrote that song before I did the Josh Todd and the Conflict record, me and Stevie, and we actually wrote it for a country artist to see if anybody wanted to pick it up, and it just sat there, and we just kept playing it at soundcheck during the Conflict shows, and musicians would come up to us all the time and ask us what record that song was on, so we kind of knew we had a song that was good, and it just sat there for a little while till the Buckcherry record cycle, and it fit in perfectly, and I love the song.
Yeah, I love it too. And I noticed slight changes in the set list from show to show to sort of keep things fresh, but you keep more or less the same structure, right?
Yeah, that's kind of always what we do with whenever we go out on a tour, you know. We've changed it up in the past, you know, it's hard because you always have the usual suspects that everybody wants to hear, like Crazy Bitch, Lit Up, Sorry, those types, those songs. And then, you know, we gotta mix it up for ourselves, you know, so that we have fun, you know.
Yeah, I love the little spot where you do the covers, like Footloose, Crazy Mary, when you get your lash out, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, that we do like a 8-minute version of Crazy Bitch, which is, it's a lot of fun, and I think people enjoy it. You know, before Footloose, we were doing an Eddie Money song, Two Tickets to Paradise. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, we mix it up. Yeah,
cool. And this year marks the 20th anniversary of your debut album. Are you planning anything special to celebrate this? Maybe a show where you play the album in full? Or
I would love that. You know, if there was a demand for that, then we would definitely do it. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see what next year brings. But this year was all about, you know, the 20-year mark and promoting Warpaint and just getting back out here and killing it, you know.
Yeah. Let me take a quick sidetrack because I saw an interview where you mentioned Back in Black as one of your main influences. What makes you believe that albums like that stand the test of time? And, you know, I listen to it still today and it sounds so current. What makes that difference for an album like that, for example?
I think all those old rock artists, they listened to the right stuff. They were all listening into African-American artists.
Yeah.
And so all old rock had a lot of soul, like Led Zeppelin and AC/DC. And so when, you know, AC/DC is this band where simplicity is an art form and they do it really well. And you can dance to an AC/DC record, you can rock to it. It's just timeless and it's fun. And, you know, that's kind of what's gone away with rock music. And I think a lot of it is because the newer generation, they don't listen to that stuff, those artists, you know. And, you know, the computers and being cut to a grid and all the stuff that's going on with live rock shows has really diluted, I feel like, has really lent itself to be bland across the board, and so there's no more rock stars. Like the last generation or decade of rock stars was the 90s. We had amazing rock vocalists, and then all of a sudden it just became one band blending into the next, and you just, there's no diversity, and that's it.
Yeah.
For the whole 2000s. So I feel like rock is in a place for a reason, you know. It's just it's gotta change for sure, and hopefully it will.
Yeah. What was the last pop song you heard that had guitars in it? I don't remember, to be honest. I don't.
Yeah.
It's gotta be 10 years old at least.
Yeah, well, Bruno Mars is kind of bringing some rock back into his some of his songs, and he's really great. And,
yeah.
And, you know, yeah, it's just different, you know.
Yeah. And you're doing 100 shows this year, almost. Do you still find time to embrace the sex, drugs, and rock and roll lifestyle, even with such a tight schedule?
At the end of this year, it'll be 154 shows.
Jesus.
And, sex, drugs, and rock and roll? No, none of that is going on. It's just all, you know, I've been sober many years. I've been pretty vocal about it, so.
Yeah,
I couldn't do this that way. You know, I wouldn't be able to maintain it. It's a very physically demanding my part in it. So
yeah.
I have to really take care of myself.
And being a family man like you are right now, do you find it harder to write songs about debauchery, going out with a million women, drinking every night and passing out? Or
I don't really write songs about that anymore. That was a huge part of my life for a long time, and I've had a lot of fun doing that. And there's some really magical moments, you know, and I write about that because it's in my head. And if like music lends itself to write a story about that, then I will, you know. But I'm just not in that place right now. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't matter.
And do you find it inspiring to write while on the road, or there's no time for that? Or
I'm writing all the time, you know. That's why I love the iPhone for that, you know. It's good. I'm always accumulating melodies and titles and ideas, and I scat them out, and then I put them together when, you know, it's done.
I see. And tell us about your involvement with Lamb of God guitar player Mark Morton on his first solo album. How did that happen?
Yeah, we have a mutual friend, this guy Brad Furman, and he's part of his management, actually. And so Brad called me. He wanted me on the record, Mark, and I've never even met Mark.
Wow.
And or I think I met him briefly, but I can't remember. And anyways, he's a lovely guy. We talked on the phone. He sent me the track, and we did it all without actually ever being in the studio together. And he sent me the track. I recorded it on my own. I sent him back my, you know, basic demo of the song, and he really loved it. And that's it. Then I re-recorded all the vocals, and they mixed it and put it out. And I think it's one of the better songs on the record, so I'm happy with it.
Very cool. And going back to the touring plans of Buckcherry, you have still many, many dates in North America, then Australia and Asia. What's the plan after that? Or how far ahead do you plan?
Yeah, after that, we're kind of looking for a really good package tour. We'll see if that comes about in the new year. And if it doesn't, we're just going to do like fly dates and you know, keep writing songs and figure out, you know, the next thing. I don't know, you know, more will be revealed. It's only, you know, August, so
yeah,
we'll see.
All right. Thank you so much, Josh, and I look forward to seeing you on stage in a few hours.
Yeah, my pleasure, man. It's going to be fun.
Thanks. Okay, folks, that's a wrap. Thank you for listening to this interview with Josh Todd of Buckcherry. If you enjoyed this interview, please show some love and follow Sonic Perspectives on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. And of course, leave us a comment and share this if you can. We're going to leave you now with the song Bent from Buckcherry's last album, War Paint. Take care and rock on.